Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Usually when people ask how I'm doing, the real answer is I'm doing shitty. But I can't say I'm doing shitty because I don't even have a good reason to be doing shitty. So if I say I'm doing shitty, then they say, why? What's wrong? And I have to be like, I don't know, all of it. So instead, when people ask how I'm doing, I usually say, I am doing so great.
I can't begin my day until I've had a Dick and Cider.
There's nothing better than waking up to a good old Dick and Cider.
My girlfriend loves Dick and Ciders. My sister came to stay with us for a month, and my husband couldn't go a day without a Dick and Cider.
My girlfriend loves a Dick and Cider.
My mom loves a Dick and Cider.
My sister loves to wake up in the morning with a Dick and Cider.
I'm a bit young, but I would love to try a Dick and Cider.
Not all peepee times are poopoo times.
But all poopoo times are peepee times.
I want the telephone for the pancake pie! Pink pie. A pancake pie.
What?
Pancake pie! I want pancake pie! Give me the phone number from the apple pie!
You want apple pie now?
Whatever it is, pancake pie! Pancake pie, man.
Do you really think it's called pancake pie?
No, it's similar to pancake pie. Of course, no. Pancake is pancakes. It's the pancake, but no pancake! Oh my God, I don't know to talk anymore. It's because of you, asshole.
What's it called?
Pink pink pie.
Fix your lips, bro.
Fix your ass, bro. How many times I have to give it to give it to get the number of the pancake pie?
What if someone's getting angry about your driving?
You can't let it get to you. For example, in 1996, some guy gave me the middle finger after I cut him off. I recognized him from TV. That's when I decided to become a defensive driving instructor, developing the skills I needed to eventually be invited on his show as an expert. Now, once you're there, it's just a simple matter of switching out his muffins with the ones you made yourself. Those muffins were pretty good, weren't they, Jim? How many did you eat?
What? I don't know.
Thank you so much for sharing your tips, Danny.
Danny is not my true name.
Let's cut to the chase. I found a joint in the basement. Anyone gonna fess up?
It's mine, okay?
No. See what you've done?
Mom, you should have aborted him!
What's next, James? Killing us in our sleep? Wearing our guts as accessories?
You're tearing this family apart!
This is lame. I'm out of here.
Whoa, pal. You're not going anywhere.
Jeez, guys. It was only once.
Not even once.
Happy Latinx Heritage Month.
You really want to celebrate Latinos? Well, then stop calling us Latinx. Over 97% of Latinos don't even like that word or don't even know what it means. And the other 3% eat Tostitos salsa by canned beans.
But Latinx is inclusive.
To who? To 4 people at a WeWork in Brooklyn? The only thing Latinx includes is someone who can't roll their R's and eats their tacos off of one of these.
But Latinx is gender neutral.
Do you know what is it? The entire Spanish language. Do you want to go and start gentrifying that too, huh, Nadine? Guess you didn't do your research, because if you did, you would realize that Mexicans already came up with gender neutral pronouns. And that's full. As in, self full, damn full. It even works in Spanish. Neta full?
It's actually pronounced Latinx. Who cares? It's a made-up word. You can't just start changing our language and think it's immediately gonna have power. It's a PC term, not a Harry Potter spell. Coworker lets me call him Latinx.
Congratulations, Nadine. You found one that was raised in the suburbs with cable and premium movie channels. And if you can respect what one person wants to be called, then you should respect what an entire group doesn't want to be called. Can we just admit this is a word that woke people invented because Latinos took over Star Wars?
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man. From Filthy Martini Studios in Ontario, California, it's the Fubar Show!
Hey, what is up, everyone? I am Joe C.
And I'm Sam.
Thank you all so very much for listening into the Fubar Show, and a special thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow foos. Remember to pick up some swag at foobarshow.com. That's foobarshow.com. And follow foobarshow on all of our socials. And we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. Ain't that right, Steph?
Meow, meow.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited for today's show, Steph. You want to know why?
Why?
Because we have, it's kind of loaded, man. It's kind of loaded. Not only do we have a little Fubar sports. Remember we used to do a sports thing on the show when, what's that guy's name that was hosting the show with us at the time?
What?
The big round fellow.
What?
Josh.
Yeah.
Josh. Yeah. Yeah. So since then, we haven't had any like sports to talk about. And if we have, it's been like minimal.
Right.
Like a quick mention. But then we also have Geeking Out, and we're going to give a quick bulletin. And you're going to talk about your experience going to Pasadena's Alien Con.
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into that.
You spent pretty much all of your Saturday there. And last but not least, we have finally a music highlights that we can actually promote.
Woo!
And that won't get taken down by Anchor and Spotify. You fucks. No, this one is an awesome band out of Georgia. Their name is Suitor, like we've been talking about in the last couple podcast episodes that we were going to have them on. And it was fun, man. We recorded a little bit out of order this week on this one. So that one's already been recorded. I'll say that it was a great... great interview with them. I thought it was a great talk.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Those guys are fun.
Those guys are cool, man. Those guys are cool, and their music's even better.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a new single out, and so we're going to talk all about it. And so everybody needs to go check them out, add them to your playlists so that you can listen to them on your way to work, and check out the new music video companion that they came out with. So again, we're going to talk more about it when we speak with them later on in the episode, but stay tuned for that one. Before I get into anything, Steph, I just wanted to just call out a couple dates out because I'm going to be over at Brewery X in Anaheim, California this Saturday, March 11th. We're going to go on from 12 p.m. to 4 a.m. Now, I'm hoping it doesn't rain on us, but I understand at least the days around it might be a little rainy.
Yeah.
And it's an outdoor event, so it's not one of those rain or shines. It's just if it rains, nobody's going to go outside. You know, so pending if it ends up clearing up by Saturday, plan to be there, man. We're going to have a great time. And since it's an early afternoon show, we're going to stick around and enjoy ourselves.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. And then on March 18th for St. Paddy's Day weekend, we're going to be back over at the Highbrow Pub in Upland, California. That one's going to be a late night show from 8 p.m. to midnight. So that's always a great spot to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that crowd seems to always like, they take care of us there, man.
I like that little spot.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for the first time earlier this year when you guys played a show. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty nice. I like it.
Pretty dope. Pretty dope space there. And the bartending staff is pretty amazing, too. They're very generous with their portions if you're looking to get pretty fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
And you can ask them not to be if you just want a well-balanced drink, but... I mean, you're paying top dollar. You're not stupid, you know.
It's like those videos, a shot of vodka, and then it's just like, glug, 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 glug.
Yeah, just like, it's like most of the mug. It's like, you're using a mug? Anyway, so I wanted to get quickly into, because we got a lot of show to pack in, so I wanted to get into Mark Maples, what? Mark Maples
messages
on Mondays. That alliteration is out of control. He called in and he's calling us out on last week's music news where we were talking about Cyndi Lauper being at the number one, like
she's number one on the voting charts for being inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then he has some commentary about how not well-versed we are in Cyndi Lauper's history. So here it is.
Okay, it's time for the Mark, old man, get off my lawn portion of the show here. You're just too goddamn young to know how iconic Cyndi Lauper was. She had way more than one or two songs. Go back, do a little research. Know that she was an integral part of pop culture in the 1980s. She not only were the videos cutting edge for what she did, she played a role in the WWF, who is WWE now, with Hulk Hogan, Captain Lou Albano. You just don't know enough to be passing that kind of judgment. Go learn a little bit.
He swears like we were talking shit.
Right?
We were just like, we don't know enough about her to at least, you know, at least from our perspective, to put her at number one. But yeah, I guess we don't know enough.
I think we even mentioned that, like, almost verbatim. Like, I only know like one or two songs.
He probably got pissed and said, and just paused it and then gave us a call.
He's all rolling it. Let me learn you something.
He's rolling up his sleeves. He's really giving us the what for, huh? Thanks a lot, Mark. We'll look into it.
We won't, though.
We won't.
We're not going to look into it.
Not doing it.
We're just going to take your word for it. We, you know, I'd like to consider the 80s as God's blind spot, you know, in at least music history. Although there was a lot of good metal.
You just didn't like the
synthopop.
You didn't like the synthopop. I didn't like the
synthopop, man.
Just can't get enough.
Shut up. Don't you start. Don't you start. Anyway, if you'll believe it, Steph, we also had another caller into the show. Can you guess who it was?
Oh, what's...
I'm full bitch on this one. I'll admit it.
Josh.
Oh, it's Josh, the round one. I think that's what you dubbed them, or maybe I dubbed them. I'm passing that on along to you. Josh called in, man. I remember listening to it the day that he phoned in, but I forgot what it was about. So let's take a listen.
Well, well, foos. Long time, first time. First off, drop and go fuck yourselves. That's called sausage casing side in regards to the jersey comment.
Oh, because I said that he was filling in his football jersey, his Eagles jersey. I guess he listens to the show. All right, let's see what else.
Secondly, I just had a, thought here. I'm sitting here watching the Batman for the, I don't know, 30th time, I think, about now. Yeah. That sounds about right. Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm thinking, you know, listening to this Under the Bridge for like maybe the thousandth time, I feel like Batman's just sitting in his cave, emoing out, listening to Under a Bridge on a loop while he's writing in his diary. Like... That's fucking sad.
Yeah.
How does he not cut himself? Maybe all the bats. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, he gets into fights, so people will cut him.
Anyway, okay, yeah. Later, fucks.
Later, man. Yeah, right?
He needs the punishment.
Pain don't hurt.
Seeks it out.
Right. I don't know, man. Why does Batman do what he does?
He's just, you know, it's PTSD that he can't get over.
Right. Anywho, Steph, you want to get into FUBAR Sports? There's a lot to talk about, considering we don't talk about sports like we used to anymore.
Sports?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, Steph, but they've been doing this for a little while over in the minor leagues. Now it's in the Major League Baseball, that is. They are implementing a shit ton of new rules. The baseball's competition committee voted to implement new rule changes that will begin when spring training games begin this month, which is pretty much already begun by the time this episode releases. All of those rules have been in place in the minor leagues, like I said, over the previous seasons, leading to a wide-ranging changes in pace of play and on-field action. So it's going to include like a first-ever pitch clock, which means that the pitchers are on a clock. Like in basketball, you get a shot clock until you know, for somebody to shoot the ball to the basket. The pitchers now have a timer. the elimination of the shift, bigger bases, and a limit on how many times a pitcher can disengage from the rubber. Which, you know, sometimes that happens. Well, they'll step off so that they can maybe get some sand on their hand or scratch their balls or replace the gum. I don't know what they do up there, man. But sometimes they are milking it.
Well,
or checking on somebody on base.
There is such a thing as like a sports juju where they have to do these routines every time. And yeah, it does take a long time, but like, as a player, you have to go through these steps. Like, oh, I have to hold the ball a certain way. I have to bounce it in my hand like three times before I pitch it. Well, now
they
got
to be significantly quicker than they might have used to be.
So that's like a whole nother thing that the athlete now has to relearn how to do, because they were so used to it and now they can't anymore. There's a time clock. Now there's more anxiety. Now they can't do all their little, you know, mannerisms on the field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They gotta
decide on what kind of pitch they're gonna pitch from the signals from the catcher too. They gotta be more in sync now too.
Yeah,
along with everything else. So that's happening. But anyway, the new rule at the time, and this one's called the shift. At the time the pitch is thrown, all four infielders are required to be on the infield dirt or infield grass, with two on each side of second base. Players will be able to move as soon as the ball leaves the pitcher's hand. Originally, the infielders who began the game on one side of the field will not be allowed to switch over to the other side for the entirety of the game, but that was revised to just each inning, which we've seen, I believe. We've seen them kind of switch off.
So they can be called like offsides, pretty much.
Oh, Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the punishment were. Well, let's see. Let's keep reading. Unless there's a mid-inning substitution. Okay. In other words, a player who starts in an inning at first or second base has to remain on that side of the field for the whole inning, but can switch over to short or third base the next inning. If there's an injury mid-inning, then the infield can be reset if there's an injury in the between. Okay. That same inning. So how will that be enforced? If the hitting team reaches base and the runners advance on a ball hit under the violation, the game proceeds without penalties. If the play has any other consequence or an out or a sacrifice, the hitting team can decide on either to accept the penalty, which would add one ball to the hitter's count, or decline it and the play would stand.
What the fuck?
Interesting. That's
why
it's doing a bit much. What they're trying to change. The league wide batting average was down to .243 in 2022. That's pretty goddamn low. The lowest since 1968. Lack of singles in particular is a heart of the decline, with 2022's rate of 5.33 per team and the third lowest in MLB history. And the 2021 and 2020 seasons filling the two spots ahead of it on the all-time list. So it's been declining quite significantly. Pretty much, I guess, I don't know. Can we blame the pandy for that?
Probably not.
I know. What it's meant in the minors. So they've been doing this, like I said, for the last few seasons in the minors. So what does this mean for them? During the first 2 months of the 2022 minor league season, in the lower levels of the minors where the shifts are regulated, the batting average of the balls in play by left-handed hitters rose by 8 points. At AAA league, where shifts are not banned, it was only 3 points. So it is helping them get that average up.
What else do they got? They got
more action.
Pitch clock, too.
Yep, we got the pitch clock. Pitchers will have 15 seconds to throw a pitch with the bases empty and 20 seconds when there's a runner on base.
Okay, there's just too many rules. Why can't it just be universal?
Hitters will need to be in the batter's box with 8 seconds on the pitch clock. So hitters can't also like milk the clock. They have to be from being on deck to being in the
batter's box,
they only have 8 seconds, which is nice because sometimes they'll milk the shit out of it. But you know what that means too? It's going to mean shorter intro music for the players. So maybe they gotta choose a quick one. How is this going to be enforced? If the pitcher is not started, the motion to deliver a pitch before the expiration of the clock, he will be charged with a ball. If a batter delays getting into the box, he'll be charged with a strike.
Already?
Yeah, before even like a pitch is thrown, you'll already be a strike in.
Oh man.
So you're going to get more of a strikeout count, and you're probably going to get more people getting on base quicker. Pretty much, they want the game to just go. They want movement. They don't want anybody milking the clock.
Then make it 5 innings then. Don't make it 9 innings. These rules are ridiculous.
You think that'll do it?
Do you think that's really fair for them to like take their time walking up? I mean, they're really not taking that much time, are they? Are they taking like 2 or 3 minutes, or are they taking like 30, 45 seconds? You know what I mean?
I've heard, and I don't know if it explains it specifically in this article here that I'm getting off of ESPN, but that it's saving an average of 26 minutes per game, which could, I don't know, man. Like, is 26 minutes worth it? I guess it can be if it means, you know, especially when you have these like midweek games where, yeah, where you end up taking the family and, you know, there's school the next morning, you have work the next morning, you kind of want to be out at by 10 because the games tend to start at 7. There's also that. I'm sure that has something to do with why people don't go to a baseball game.
Well, then start the game earlier. There's just too many rules.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there. Because I don't think that people would show up or be there for the first few innings.
If they know earlier that they're going to a game, they're going to take the time to go to the game.
Not on just a regular season game. Those games are disposable, you know? So I think they want more asses in seats. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think a 26-minute difference is going to do it.
They're saying it will.
Hasn't started yet. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's see what they're trying to change. The average time for a 9-inning major league game in 2022 was 3 hours and 4 minutes, which is actually a 6-minute decline from 2021's all-time high. But the time of game has been rising consistently since first crossing the 3-hour mark in 2014. It's not directly correlated, but the tempo tracker shows 110 pitchers averaged at least 20 seconds per pitch with the bases empty in 2022. So if they're making them, they're almost cutting that in half.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's see. And then pickoffs. Oh, this one's interesting. Pickoff is when you're trying to get somebody who's already on base out by throwing it to that base, by catching them off guard and then tagging them. Pickoffs are one version of a disengagement, which consists of any time the pitcher makes a pickoff attempt, fakes a pickoff, or simply steps off the rubber for any reason, as well as when the defense requests time. Pitchers are allowed 2 disengagements per plate appearance without penalty. The disengagement rule resets if a runner or runners advance a base within the same plate appearance. So like if they steal. How is this going to be enforced? After a third step off, the pitcher will be charged with a balk. You know what a balk is?
No.
That's when the runners already on base get to advance.
Well, that's what a balk is.
Yeah. And normally when we would see a balk, it's when the pitcher makes the motion of beginning a pitch and then gives up on it. So that's like, I guess it's kind of like a delay of game. But that's how it's been. And then they charge him with a balk because he balked at throwing the ball. And unless one offensive player advances a base or an out is made on the ensuing play after the step off. So they'll have to advance. let's see, the bigger bases. They're increasing them from 15 inches to 18 inches.
Oh, you're making it. Why? Just leave the bases as they are. Make it hard.
They want to reduce injuries around them while increasing stolen base attempts.
Okay.
They want to make it easier for them to touch the base.
I get the, all right. I get the safety issue there.
Position players pitching. Teams will be more limited in when they can pitch a position player. The previous rule allowed them to use one when up or down by six or more runs. But the sides are discussing a tweak in which the leading team would have to be up by as many as 10 or more points, while the trailing team would have to be down by eight or more in order to pitch a position player. Interesting. Because I know the Dodgers were doing that for a couple of games last season, where they went all the way into, I think Theo Albert was pitching when he was on the team. Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
They put him up on the plate and he got a few outs and like made him proud and shit like that. So that's the new rule there. What they're trying to change with this is that the league and now even the players agree that there's too many position players that are taking the mound over the course of the season. Oh, I guess that's why they made that observation. In fact, players believe that it's having a bigger and bigger impact on production, from offensive numbers to even defensive metrics, all of which come into play during arbitration and free agency. In 2017, there were 32 instances of position players pitching in a game. Last season, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, that number jumped to 132. So that was, I guess, just a regular occurrence in the MLB. And then they give like a nice small little glossary or index for like frequently asked questions that one may have.
Right.
So we'll go through this quickly. Are catchers' pickoff throws limited? No, they can throw to the bases as much as they want. So that's fine.
Okay.
The pitch clock then restarts as soon as the pitcher gets the ball back from the infielder. Can a catch hold on to the ball longer to give a pitcher more time? Can the catcher hold on to the ball to give the pitcher more time? No. And any attempt of this, or at least a repeated attempt, if the umpire notices a pattern that they're trying to hold on to the ball so that the pitcher can get ready for the next pitch without being on the time clock, will result in a warning and or violation being called. And so it's up to umpire discretion, but hopefully they're impartial.
Ejected.
I hope not. I can see a lot of people like arguing with the ump and then getting ejected for a lot of these rules. Because people have to adapt to them still.
You're out of here.
Is the distance from home to first and third base now shorter, or just first to second and second to third? Yes, all baselines are shorter because of the size of the base is now 3 inches square bigger than it was previously. That means first and third are that much closer to home plate. So it's inches, but I guess it could mean a difference depending on how fast people tend to throw in the infield. When can a batter step out to reset the pitch clock? Only when he calls timeout, which can happen once per plate appearance. A batter is allowed to step out of the box after any pitch as long as he's ready and alert to the pitcher with 8 seconds remaining on the clock. To reset the clock, he has to use his timeout. And he only gets one, so he's got to be smart about it.
Everybody gets one.
Mm-hmm. Can a fielder get a running start to beat the shift rules? No, running starts won't be allowed. The fielder can move to the other side of second base only after the pitcher releases the ball. Violations will result in a ball being called. It's kind of like being offsides. Dang. If the ball is put in play, however, the offensive team can choose to accept the result of the play. So if let's just say they did a hit and they got on base, they would obviously rather take the base than take the ball.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those things where if a flag is thrown in football and it's kind of like, well, you would advance more by not penalizing the other team, then you have the option of taking one or the other.
Okay.
Does a catcher get an additional time to put his gear on and get to his position if he makes the final out of the inning? Yes, and umpires have discretion when it comes to all matters involving equipment or injury. Common sense will be used by umpires, we fucking hope, in those moments, unless teams are clearly attempting to circumvent the rules. And what happens with the pitch clock after a foul ball when the outfielder has a long run to make? So again, common sense will be used, but an outfielder doesn't have to be standing in a specific position for the umpire to start the clock. If he's a few steps from it and the pitcher has the ball, the clock will start. So that seems pretty common sense-y. Can a pitcher ask for a new ball? Yes, but he must do so with at least 8 seconds remaining on the clock. It's possible that at repeated asks, such as four or five in a row, it can result in a warning. Because that means he's milking the clock or the absence thereof. Lastly, what's the catcher's responsibility in getting ready? He must be in the box and ready to catch with at least 9 seconds remaining on the clock. So they're really trying to speed shit up here.
Too many rules.
I don't know. I think it's going to make the game a little bit more interesting, especially for people who are really interested in stats.
Yeah.
Like for them to try to keep track and shit like that.
It will probably make the audience pay attention a little bit more as well, mm-hmm. because now there's all these like time clocks.
There's going to be more going on the field where like you can't. Maybe we'll see the less of the wave.
I need there to be a penalty horn or a zero horn when the clock reaches zero, just like in basketball.
Like a hank. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I wonder what that's going to. Hopefully it's not just the ump yelling.
I don't know. You know, I don't like rules. So this is just, it bothers me so much. And I don't even watch baseball.
This was a complete waste of time. Thank you for joining us in this, Steph. Well, that's going to do it for FUBAR Sports. Stick around for Geeking Out. Well, Steph, we're going to keep this one relatively short, but I am very much interested in hearing about the trip to AlienCon that you took pretty much your entire day on Saturday over in Pasadena.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What was that all about, eh?
AlienCon, excuse me, is not a convention where you think it's like based off of movies, like the movie Aliens or Predators. This is actual like extraterrestrial.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, yeah. There were people walking around with those tinfoil hats.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Like alien enthusiasts. There was like a trio of men in black with the sunglasses. They were just there walking around, not saying anything, just like dead face. It's like, don't talk to me. I am part of the government. But AlienCon took place Pasadena Convention Center this weekend, March 4 and 5. And I attended the Saturday viewing, and there were speakers from the British government there, our government, the cast of Ancient Aliens. You know,
was the mean guy there?
Yeah, Giorgio was there with the hair.
With the hair,
of course.
Good God.
And then you had pretty much the entire day consisted of us going from panel to panel, and I really didn't know what to expect. For this AlienCon, like, are we gonna actually like dissect aliens? Is this gonna be like a how-to step? You know, what kind of things are out there? But
how to mate with them?
How to mate with them?
How to receive?
What do they look like? Do they have dating profiles? Are they genderless? Do they have genders? These are the questions that I wanted to know.
Was there a probe sign-up sheet?
There was none of that.
To be probed?
One of the panels that I did go to was for the Mutual UFO Network, a.k.a. MUFON. And so this is an actual organization that's dedicated to investigating paranormal activity and debunking it. Actually, like, you know,
working against the conspiracy theorists.
Right. So it's just like, okay, we have this unidentified event. What is it? Like, is it one of our spaceships?
Just using logic and reason.
Exactly.
Data.
And so the regional director from California was there. The director of the organization was there. And a few, there was a retired Navajo policeman there. Mm-hmm. And they were all talking about their greatest unexplained experiences. And, oh, man, I got, like, some chills hearing their story.
And this was a panel?
This was a panel. Okay. So most of the stories that I have are, you know, all based on panels.
Yeah.
So one of the stories was the investigator was investigating these lights. It was the Navajo policeman, mm-hmm. Retired. He was living in this little town. Probably like 2,000 residents in this town. And there were just lights overhead, benevolent. They were just kind of looking. And everybody in the town, he said, was just kind of looking at each other like, what is this?
Are we being invaded?
Right. And so he calls the police up, or, you know, the department, and he tries to give a description of it. And their first thing they ask are just like, Are you reporting a UFO sighting? Like, they were pretty skeptical. And he's like, you know what? Never mind. Because, of course, nobody's going to believe.
Right.
And he knows what he's seeing. And everybody in the town knows what they're seeing. So they kind of just sat outside and just watched these lights for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a few other, like, creepy-ass stories where this guy... I was telling you earlier, this investigator actually, after 30 years of investigating and debunking a whole bunch of stuff, he finally had his own experience where he didn't actually see a figure or anything, but he had a physical experience where something was knocking at his window and it was just like tapping like three times. Mm-hmm. And like the dogs wouldn't go to the window. They were like super scared. And I was like, oh my God, I'm fucking getting chills right now. And it was like, then he finally got like a light shown into his face. And a couple days later, that same thing happened. And then he woke up with a bloody nose all over his pillow. And then he said, well, you know, these things are weird, but I just did whatever anybody else would do. And I got up, washed up, and just went to work. And then after 2 years, he started having these headaches, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor looked up his nose. He's like, you know what? There might be something there. And of course, the first thing you're going to think of is like, oh, you know,
what?
Is it like a polyp? Is it cancer? You know, I've had this headache for a long time.
Yeah.
You don't really think anything of it. And then they went up there into his nose, and they pulled out an object. And they're just like, nope. You know, we can't figure out what this is.
Nope.
And so the hospital kept it. They were going to run a test. And then it mysteriously disappeared. And it was like,
nope.
All of this is on file. It's all documented. You know, I this is what I do for a living. I like totally debunk this stuff. But this I cannot make up. Like, it just happened to me. I was like,
it's definitely enough for me, dog.
Oh, fucking chills, dude.
Oh, no, God!
That's pretty creepy.
No, God, that, right? Please, no! Yeah. No!
And
no! No!
Like, there's no mention of him, like, actually seeing any being, but his experience, like, it can only be aliens, right?
I don't know about that.
Only aliens.
Or, you know, it could be just, like, one of those, what do they call them? Where he uses you as a host,
like an avatar type thing.
No, what no, the fuck?
Wait, use no. him as a host.
Yeah, you know, when an insect kind of embeds or a worm. What do you call those things? Parasite.
Parasite.
Yeah, it's just a parasite.
Oh no, this was like a metallic object that they pulled from his.
Oh,
nose.
An object.
Yeah,
that wasn't alive or anything.
Oh no,
and it disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh God.
oh no, this is not
paid more attention.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah.
And then the day was just full of other panels with people, like all of the topics that they were talking about, like, are unclassified. So this is information that, you know, the public has brought to their attention, and they go in to investigate it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they can't talk about classified stuff, only what's out there, and then you can actually research. And then the cast of the Ancient Aliens panel was pretty cool, and they were talking about DNA, genetic influence with extraterrestrial life, or ancient astronaut influence, if you will.
Sure, I will.
Yes. Because they're just like, yes, there's Darwinism, there's evolution, because there's a fossil record, but the time span, and I want to get your opinion on this, the time span where, you know, the brain mass of humans developed so quickly is such a short amount of time. And there's, their theory is that there was some kind of genetic influence, because all other species took, you know, double, triple time to evolve into the state they are now.
Well, I think we had to, because we were going in the early stages of, you know, our species. Weren't we going through an ice age? And on top of that, weren't we knocking boots with Neanderthals, which had a bigger brain?
Yeah, but even like before then,
evolution was smashing uglies with them.
Even before then,
we were doing the old in out.
Before we climbed down the tree,
running out of euphemisms. Yes.
Yeah, before we climbed down the tree and started walking on 2 feet, you know, at that point,
yeah,
that there was some kind of genetic influence.
Yeah, we had the common ancestor with all those other fucks.
Right.
Yeah. Why did we end up the way we did in such a short amount of time? I don't know. I think it's just there was aliens. A lot of predators out there that really kind of trimmed the fat for us in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Or aliens.
Aliens.
Or it's aliens.
That's what it is.
I think it's aliens. That's what we want to believe. Anyway, so...
So, man, the con was fun, and I ran into, guess who I ran into?
What'd you run into?
I ran into Doug Brody.
Your boy!
Yeah!
Doug Brody, we've had him on the show a couple of times now already to talk about his sci-fi thriller, The Ship, and The Ship's Revenge. The Shippening. It's not called The Shippening. Don't look for that. They're really good books. And he's writing a third now, right? It's going to be a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So hopefully we can...
discuss that with him?
No, not in detail.
Oh, okay.
It's not released. So hopefully we can get him back on the show so we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool running into him. I was just walking through like the marketplace, or even like the hallway before the marketplace. And I was like... I saw the poster first, and I was like, I know that poster. Oh, it's Doug! So I walked up to him and said, what's up? And he was telling me that they were getting a lot of questions about his book, like, oh, is this based off of true events? Because the people there are, you know, amateur UFO hunters. They want to find out the facts. But
they're nuts.
No, this is a genuine, like, fiction story that just happens to be with aliens, and it's actually really good.
It's really good.
Action, horror, drama, aliens.
Yeah, dude.
Everything you need.
It's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
In a balanced alien diet.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool seeing him there. And during the marketplace, there was a bunch of vendors selling crystals and earth chakras and finding your aura and psychic readers and things like that, because there were, you know, you just have to be one with the earth when you're talking about aliens, you know?
I guess.
Yeah. And then I was able to get some feedback from a couple people and...
Did a little man on the street?
Yeah. Little Steph on the street.
Little Steph on the street.
So my question to them was, what were they most looking forward to for Alien Con, and what did they think about the con overall?
Okay, let's listen.
Okay, I was looking most forward to people watching. I'm not that much of an enthusiast, and I think walking away from it, I just wish there was more food.
I was looking forward to just seeing the crowds of people. I was blown away by the different... I always thought it was just nerds, but it was just normal people that were always there. Or have probably always looked at it at some point. And then I saw... I fanned out at some people. But was too scared to talk to them.
My name is Jackie. And I very much loved it. I didn't think it was going to be as big as I experienced it. My favorite one was Ancient Aliens, because that's my kind of subject. I seen all the people that I love, even though I wanted to see more female casters that I've seen on the show, but it was very exciting, and I will definitely be doing this next year again. Hopefully, females show up this time.
Yeah, we need more females.
All right.
Yeah, they had... No, she brought up a good point, because there are a lot of female hosts.
Yeah.
And then they're up and coming, but you know, they weren't there at the con, and they have a big fan base too, but they
were busy,
maybe, or else we just didn't see the right panels with them. But yeah, there are a lot of female paranormal investigators coming up, and like they were mentioning, the crowd was of the older variety, somebody who's probably been UFO hunting or since paranormal Roswell. Investigating since Roswell. And then you had a lot of the younger crowd who you can tell all had a podcast.
Bunch of fucks like us.
They were all wearing their podcast t-shirts. And then you just had a bunch of just fans of the whole extraterrestrial phenomena. Yeah, genre. They were wearing their alien costumes. Like, they actually had like the alien mask with, like, I'm talking about like the grays with the almond eyes. There were a couple like astronauts there. R2-D2 was there with Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, they're not of this world.
No. They're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just used to talking to aliens, so why not be there?
Yeah.
So overall, it was pretty fun. It was very informative. I will say that with all the panels and so much information, it felt like I was in lecture at school, like a 6-hour day just being lectured to. But all of that stuff was just like, you're just fanning out. You're just, oh my God, I just got to absorb all this material. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
it's light lifting. You just got to sit there and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take notes, stuff like that. Sure. Well, I'll bring it up every now and then, a couple of key UFO cases. Mm-hmm. I know we don't have time right now, but you know, throughout the pod, I'll probably just bring one up here and there and spook you guys a little bit.
Yeah. That'd be dope if we did something like that on the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch out there. We've unlocked UFOs. Okay. On the Foo Bar Show.
That's interesting. I don't believe in that stuff, but I love hearing about it.
Yeah, especially the really spooky stuff.
Yeah,
it's one thing to find like objects and you know have them tested, not know what it is, but you know, real life experiences to people.
I find it fascinating that somebody can make the jump from I don't know what this is to it's fucking aliens. And I, you know, it's like, oh, okay, bro. Like, there's a few scientific steps that you got to take in between the conclusion.
Well, you know, your mind would have changed if you went to this con. So,
oh, good God.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we end geeking out, Steph, you got a little bulletin for us?
Just a quick bulletin, a few things that came out this week. Chris Rock's comedy special is on Netflix.
And you know he's going to talk about the slap. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw a clip on IG about him talking about it. And he pretty much just calls Will Smith a bitch like 100 times. It's pretty funny in that little snippet that I saw. So everybody check that shit out. Chris Rock is always awesome and hilarious. He's one of the goats.
Yeah.
So
for sure,
I'm excited, dude, to see that one. What else?
Attack on Titan came out, so it's an hour long special that you can find on Crunchyroll or Hulu like the next day.
The Finaru season. Part 3 I can't wait for part 5 to come out in 2030.
Oh, you're skipping part 4, okay?
Because I know there's our... You, listen.
Part 4 and 5 are going to be
really jerked us around here.
This is what's going to happen. Part 3 is going to end, right? And then part 4 is going to be like a 1.5 hour movie special that says to be continued. And then we're going to have to wait another 6 months for part 5. And then that'll be the end.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Other thing that we've been watching is Hello Tomorrow, which is this like vintage 1960s feel set in the future. Yeah.
It's a futuristic, I don't even want to call it like a steampunk, but it kind of like a Jetsons-y, like where everything is like high tech in an analog way, but with a 60s aesthetic, with the way people dress and things like that. Like the microchip still hasn't been invented, but everything around it has.
You got
it's just bigger. Everything's just bigger.
You got the FaceTime audio, video for calling.
Yeah, video call.
Yeah. What the fuck? Video call. Mm-hmm. You have the hover cars, but they haven't invented the disk space for all paper files.
Yeah.
There's one guy.
They've got a decent AI going on throughout the society.
Right, but they have no memory for computer files. So this poor guy, there's one guy who's in an office and there's just stacks and stacks of papers all around him and he's just constantly crashing into these papers.
Like again, everything is very analog.
They even have robots working for them that hover around.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're still on the paper system. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, that's a pretty cool one about traveling salesmen who sell complexes on the moon.
It's on Apple TV. It's called Hello Tomorrow. We just finished talking about aliens. And so this is kind of like in that same sci-fi. It's not even sci-fi, though.
It's like...
It's
almost like a dark comedy, too. Almost.
It borrows from a lot of genres. It does borrow from a lot of genres.
Yeah. Sci-fi.
There is some dark comedy to it.
Drama.
It's fascinating. I recommend you at least check out the first couple of episodes so you kind of get a sense of what's happening here. We're up to date. So they release one every Friday.
Yes.
And I think they're up to 5 episodes. So you can still catch up. I don't know how many episodes they're going to have this season. But if you have Apple TV or a means to get some viewing time for Hello Tomorrow, that's an interesting one to check out. So I give that recommendation this week. What else?
We got 2 movies coming out this week, which is Scream 6.
Oh, already?
And 65 with your boy,
Kylo Ren, right?
Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Yep. 65 million years into the past, he gets flung.
From what I understand, it's kind of like Planet of the Apes premise where they shoot off into space. Something happens while they're up there and they go through this wormhole that takes them 65 million years in the past when the dinosaurs roam the Earth.
Rawr.
And they have to survive.
Yeah. Rawr.
Rawr, indeed.
And that's all it is for the bulletin for this week.
All right, man. All right. Well, as promised... We've got a music highlights coming up right now, and it's going to involve our new friends over in Georgia. Their name is Suitor. They're a 5-piece band, and they have great music. So we talk enough about it on their segment. So let's just get to it.
Nerd!
All right, and on we have Suitor. Suitor's an independent rock band from Northwest Georgia, infusing elements of indie, pop punk, and grunge. All of this brought to you with the energy of your favorite hardcore band is the way they like to describe themselves. Specifically on YouTube, it's rock music your parents are cool with.
Nice.
Yeah, man. On with us today, we have Cameron, Dallas, and Casey. What's up, guys?
Not a whole lot, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for doing it. Now, a couple, I would say a solid month ago or so, we hit you up. Steph can be given the credit for finding you guys on good old Instagram.
Awesome. Thanks.
And it's totally our style, man. It's totally what we like to listen to, specifically Steph. She likes all that stuff.
I love it.
And I am really digging a lot of the vibes you guys are putting out. You guys have a new single coming out on, well, by the time this airs, it would have already been out. That's your new single, Bad Love, that you could pretty much find anywhere. And you guys are even having a companion music video coming out with it too, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, man. So tell us a little bit about that new single. Like, Casey, are you writing the lyrics? Who does what in the band in regards to like the writing process?
Yeah, I do. I guess the main vocal. So I sing, and then I write the lyrics. I think sometimes we will, you know, kind of put something together as a group. But yeah, most of the lyrics are being written.
Okay, like on their own without any music?
Sometimes. Yeah, I think everybody's like creative process is a little bit different. We get together once a week, so sometimes I find it easier to like see what the guys bring to practice musically and kind of get a vibe for that and then run there, you know.
Yeah.
Our process honestly is, I mean, by modern times standard, it's pretty old school. It's kind of rare that I feel like a lot of bands these days are, you know, kind of writing on their own and then bringing stuff, you know, or sending tracks back and forth. I mean, hell, half the bands are members are living in different states, but I feel like we're one of the few bands that really get in a room together and write most of the stuff. And a lot of times it starts with like Dallas brings a riff to, you know, practice, or I bring something or I like mapped out on our own and then we all flush it out together. But by the time it starts and by the time it ends, it's always completely different once everyone puts their own flavor on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because and even then, like each song is probably a little different in the in how you guys came up with it. No, or do you guys have a pretty much like a formula or something down?
I wouldn't say that we really have much of a formula. I mean, we pull a lot of influences from various different like genres of music. So, you know, maybe one song is kind of like, you know, like Blackout. It's kind of more of like a, like in our heads we imagine it as like a barn dance kind of song, like a really like Western style kind of like vibe to a rock song. And then, you know, Bad Love is a lot more like kind of in the pop punk.
You guys have barn dances out there?
No.
Not so much.
They're few and far in between, but we're aware of them.
We'll send you some YouTube videos.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, I wouldn't say there's a formula, but we definitely have our tendencies. I'd say a lot of the new stuff, you know, Blackout Dallas brought that riff, and then he and I kind of fleshed up before practice. Then once everyone got there, you know, kind of structured it. And I have these four huge windows in my living room that, you know, they're supposed to be like, oh, so pretty looking at nature, but they're literally like whiteboards for us.
Yeah.
So like, we'll, you know, we'll write out song structures. And over the pandemic, I've been teaching myself how to kind of like engineer on my own just to handle like pre-production stuff to save us time and money in a studio. So, I mean, we'll have demos that when Dallas comes over, Casey gets here a little early, we'll just be like, hey, I wrote these two this week. Then we kind of pick parts that we like from them and turn them into songs. Kind of speeds up a little bit of the writing process. But so I wouldn't say there's a formula, but definitely tendencies for each song.
Yeah. So is it fair to say that you are like the, you like to visualize it, at least you, Cameron. I realize that you're credited as the director for the videos.
Yeah, so by my trade, like for a living, I do photo and video. I'm an art director at the hospital where I handle, you know, photo, video, graphic design, you name it. And then I also run a business as a photographer, and I tour with a lot of bands. I've been creating content for a lot of bands since touring since 2014 outside of like the band that Dallas and I used to be in. So it's just kind of nice that we're able to have a lot of these like skill sets in house where, you know, typically you're relying on label budgets to help pay for a $6,000-$7,000 video. Whereas we can kind of conceptualize and Casey can give me crazy ideas and we'll figure out how to make it all work and just do it all in house.
We call him Dad.
Yeah, dude, I was checking out some of your photography. I love what you do with a lot of the lighting in that. Yeah, it's really impressive. So kudos on that. I think these guys are spoiled. Yeah, man. And Casey, your vocals are just They're great, man. They remind me of a lot of the influences that I grew up with. A lot of Thrice vibes from I'm catching. A little My Morning Jacket. A little something like that. And then just to round it out, man, Dallas, I was checking out some of your guitar videos. Those are pretty goddamn impressive, also. Yeah, dude, your entire Instagram there. Like, so do you do one a week or one a month? What's going on over there?
It started off as like a once a week kind of thing, and then it got kind of hectic with like my regular work schedule and keeping up with this and like other like music things that I was a part of. So I kind of dropped down to like once every other week, and then I had to go through like a big, huge move, and I just kind of never really got back in the swing of it. So I think my last video was probably a year and a half ago.
What was it called? We're going to plug it. Riff Wednesday.
Riff Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So let's go back to Bad Love. I know you guys shared the music video with me. By the time we're recording this, it's not yet out, but it's really impressive the way it was shot. Who came up with the concept of like that, of the white background and all the crazy shit going on?
So, I mean, everything that we typically do is fairly collective. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really have like one person that's like, you know, you're the main songwriter. Like, well, I mean, Dallas is the only one in the band that can really shred. But besides that, everything is like, you know, we started just like throwing around these concepts and Casey explaining like the lyrics and kind of like what's behind it. Because we never want to be too on the nose with like a video to where we're essentially narrating a story.
Yeah.
You rather do it a little bit more abstract, and just from like connections that I have from different studios that I work out of for day jobs, I just happen to have access to a psych wall. A friend of mine runs a studio in our city that has a really cool, you know, big white psych wall, and it was something that I would be able to film while being in it. And I had some helping hands. My friend Haley came from Atlanta. She also tours as a content creator, and she's great with a camera, so she kind of helped me with a couple angles so that we could have some actual moving footage that I was in rather than just like static cameras and having to like punch in to make it look like there's movement.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of the stuff was like spur of the moment, like the all denim thing.
Well, you said the words Canadian tuxedo.
Yes.
Brand.
Yes.
And yeah. Now it's kind of like the whole theme and vibe for this release.
It's kind of keeping like the aesthetic of our band.
Yeah, we love
it. It's really become a vibe for us.
It's working out. I like it.
We dreamed of having hair. So, you know, we had that wig,
yeah.
And a lot of the stuff after the whole Canadian tux idea ran, I mean, like the Richie on like the exercise bike.
I was going to say, yeah,
literally found that behind the psych wall and just threw it in. Casey, when he had like the karaoke machine,
yeah,
that was the speaker that we were using to play the song to play to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a last minute thing. Me on top of like the mountain of amps with, you know, a mullet, just a lot of that kind of stuff was just thrown in last minute because it's very us. Like, we're just a quirky bunch. Like, it's just nonstop bullshitting with all of us.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a way to kind of have fun with the video because it's a poppy song. It's, like, a little more upbeat.
Yeah.
It's not classic sad boy tunes. So, we just kind of let it evolve on its own. And I just spent a week cutting it together and seeing how weird we can make it and, you know, just using the resources that we had.
Right on. And you guys have a single release show coming up on Saturday, March 11th over at Summit Mist Vapors in Rome, Georgia. Yep. You're playing with some of your friends there. What are the other bands there that are joining you that night?
Drown It Out are some friends of ours. Dylan, who plays guitar in Drown It Out, actually produced and tracked the Bad Love single. He runs a studio in town, super talented guy. Sweet. And their band is awesome too. If you haven't checked them out, they're definitely worth the listen. And then Xavion, who's opening the show, is a local hip hop artist that we like eclectic shows because it brings together a whole bunch of people from different vibes. Like, we'll have, you know, people there for the hip hop background. We'll have, you know, Drown It Out and us kind of share similar fans, like as far as like that 90s grunge alternative kind of vibe. But we just try to fill it with our good friends and like really good people. Xavion's one of the most supportive people, and I've been working with him for years doing photos and helping him with like studio stuff. And it's just a show full of homies, honestly. Nice. And Summit Mist is really small, so we don't want to have, you know, 100 people packed in there that we hate. So it's just going to be a fun time. If we're going to get COVID, it's going to be from someone we care about.
There you go. That's the spirit.
Share the love.
Exactly.
Well, we've talked about it. Let's go ahead and play it. Bad Love. Here we go. And that was Bad Love, man. That was great. We're going to play a couple of other tracks here, but I wanted to touch on something that you guys did and released back in November. I noticed that you guys did a cover of Song 2 by Blur for Middleman Records compilation cover album out of, what was it called? Grave Neighbors Volume 6?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did that come about?
So Blur itself, we always talked about, Jesus Christ, Casey and I probably have a million messages like back and forth, like, oh, we should do a cover of this song. Let's cover this.
Yes.
And
to this day, we did it earlier.
Every single practice, we come up with at least one song that we're like, oh, that'd be cool to cover.
But we never do it. So literally one day, I was just at home and I was listening to that song. I sent it to Casey and, you know, Casey's always like, oh, fuck yeah, like we should cover it. So I just learned on guitar and I just started playing it. And then it kind of forced the whole band to learn it. Not that it's a complicated song. It just kind of fell into place. And then a buddy of mine who knows Eddie that runs Third Man Records, they're like, hey, like we had some bands drop off this compilation. Is there any way you guys can, you know, track a cover? And we just literally just had it. We played it at one show, like at a local show. Cause we play this, there aren't a whole lot of music venues in Rome, Georgia, as you can imagine. So the places that we typically play are like outdoor bars. And then we pack them out with our friends.
Yeah.
But we also enjoy having like the boomer crowd, giving them something that they can be like, oh, if you've ever been to a sporting event or something, like, you know that song. So of course we play it and like everybody goes nuts. And then my friend Tyler hits me up about the compilation. So we track it and get it mixed and mastered like all within like a week.
Yeah.
Something like, super quick.
Yeah.
It sounds great. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's raw. It's just so much fun to play. We played it almost every show just because it's a minute and a half long and everybody loves it.
And it goes to show like how much more energy you guys can inject into that 2 minute song by just adding bass to the second verse.
Yeah. Casey also sings it in a British accent, which is pretty awesome.
Right on, right on.
Yeah. Simply must, yeah.
So you guys, before we played the song, you guys touched on COVID. How'd you guys survive the pandemic? How'd you guys make do?
As a bander, personally, because I got two sides of that story.
Where do you want to start?
As a band, it was tough. Just because every time we released something, it seemed like another wave hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, obviously, with me working in healthcare, I see a totally different side of things because I'm in, you know, COVID emergency rooms, ICUs, CCUs, and the campaigns that we're doing in our marketing department, you see a whole different side of it. So it can kind of, you start playing things a lot safer because I've seen a 24-year-old on a ventilator. I've seen all this. So show opportunities, when they arise, we really had to like weigh our options as far as like, is this worth possibly being exposed to it? Is a show, if we commit to it, do we even know if it's going to happen? Just like every pandemic band, it's just been, you can't really navigate it. You kind of hope and you wish and hope for the best. And unfortunately we had two records that, you know, when Folklore came out, that's when like the initial wave hit right after we released it.
It almost started over.
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah.
And then once we released Blackout, that's when like the Delta surge kind of hit. So, I mean, we had a bunch of shows lined up at some larger venues, like with national touring acts, that we had to drop because either the tour, you know, had to skip a few dates because of, you know, possible exposures, or we had one show where, you know, two of our members, you know, caught it and everybody was as safe as they possibly could. But
I was one of them.
Way to go, Casey.
I know. Yeah.
If it wasn't for him, like, you know, geez, we'd be national tours.
Who knows?
He'd be playing stadiums. Coachella this year.
So it was just kind of tough because there's no way to predict any of that stuff. Yeah. You could be as safe as possible, but I mean, hell, you grab the wrong shopping cart at, you know, Kroger, and next thing you know, you're in bed for 10 days. So it's just, it sucked.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So we just wrote as much music as possible, and now we have a backlog of stuff that we're slowly going to be releasing.
Yeah. Well, you guys welcomed in the Delta variant with Blackout. So I think it's only appropriate we play Blackout because that one has one of the sickest intros I've seen or I've heard in a little while.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Yeah, here we go. All right. Well, that was Blackout. and just you guys just, that's all you do. You pump out bangers. That's all you do.
We appreciate it.
Try.
Yeah, man. I enjoy every single release you guys have done. Now, we're going to play Deep Sleep by Folklore in a little bit. That was your first EP. I got to ask, what are you guys listening to right now? Like, who are the bands that you guys kind of draw inspiration from? Not the ones that you kind of like grew up listening to, but who do you like right now?
You want to start, babe?
Sure thing, dear. I don't know. I kind of go through weird phases where I'll just be really stuck on a couple, like a specific genre, and just ride that out. Lately, I've been on a really big like pop kick, so I've been listening to a lot of like older 1975. There's a lady by the name of Laurel who's really really good. Just a lot of like kind of pop stuff lately. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I kind of go back and forth between that and like, you know, some like Balancing Composure and Every Time I Die and a bunch of other like, you know, punk rock bands just kind of in different veins.
Yeah.
All throughout.
What about you, Casey? Who do you like?
Yeah, I pretty much just listen to what Cam tells me to listen to. No, in all honesty, I probably have like the weirdest, like, I don't know, most eclectic music taste. I have a very short commute, which is compared to, like, I don't know, back in the day, that's when you listen to the most music, or at least for me it was, mm-hmm. when I used to long commute. Now that I'm not driving as much, man, I listen to the radio a lot, and I know that sounds like super boomer of me or whatever, but I will straight up listen to some, like, oldies radio. Like, I love, like you said, don't
talk, CCR.
Yeah, for real, though. Like you say, don't talk about stuff you listened to growing up, but I think I'm one of those people that still listens to what they listened to growing up.
Right on.
What about you, Ken? Whether that's, like, country, pop, rap, like, metal, punk rock. Yeah, seriously. If I wanted to name one, though, probably Movements is one of my, like, favorite, like, contemporary, I guess, mm-hmm. punk rock style pop punk bands. Is that what you would call them? Alternative, maybe?
Yeah. They're good.
So I've been jamming them a lot as far as like newer music goes.
And Cameron, what are you making them listen to?
So lately I've been diving into this band called Commonwealth. Uh-huh. I'm not sure where they're from, but a friend of mine, I call him part of my focus group. So like we just recently got a new single back that from mixing and mastering. So I sent it to a couple friends of mine, and I guess this band popped up on like related artists or like, you know, somehow he found this band through our page, and I've been diving into them a lot. But besides that, a lot of singer-songwriter stuff, honestly, like City and Color has had a bunch of new stuff come out. So, you know, he pretty much stays on repeat in my book. Besides that, I've been on a little bit of a pop punk kick.
Uh-huh.
Like Stan Atlantic has put out some pretty cool stuff lately. But yeah, that's Commonwealth has kind of taken up a lot of my time lately. And then, you know, I'll listen to like really heavy stuff at like the gym and things like that, but that's all like old Knocked Loose and shit like that, but mm-hmm. you know, for a few years.
Who's out there killing it in Georgia aside from yourselves?
Ooh. Microwave.
Any shout outs? Microwave, okay.
Yeah. So Microwave, they're constantly doing big things. They're one of the bands that I've been working for since 2015.
Okay.
And then Stay Here out of Atlanta. They're doing some really cool stuff, dropping singles all the time.
We already mentioned Drown It Out.
There's a band called Dim mm-hmm. out of Atlanta, and they're some of our best friends. They've been a little hush lately. They're doing some new writing and stuff like that, so they haven't been as active, but it's literally a band of like super musicians. Like every single person in that band is incredible at what they do. So they're definitely a band to check out.
Nice. So speaking of releasing new stuff, I noticed you guys have a little bit of a pattern where not only do you release things around like Halloween time, but you do your single EP and or album. I can only guess, you know, with this new single, is this going to be a part of a larger project?
Not necessarily. Okay. The way we're trying to, like, COVID really screwed things up as far as like those releases, and we almost feel like they were almost wasted because you know, we put out a single, put out a full release, but with just like the traffic that they got and just like, I feel like how oversaturated everything is.
Yeah.
It's just proving that singles are kind of the way to go versus like full EPs or full lengths, because one, people just have the attention span of gnats these days.
Yeah.
You know, anything that's going to be, you have 15 seconds to lock people into your music.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So it's, I think for the foreseeable future, unless there's some kind of reason to put out an EP or a reason to put out a full length,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to be doing singles, but we're also tracking them in a certain way to where, say we put out three singles and then someone approaches us or like, hey, like we should put out a full record.
Yeah.
They'll be cohesive on a record. So it's almost like dripping out, you know, a full record over time, but not necessarily under the same album art, under the same potential concept.
Yeah. Well,
trying to keep something new in everybody's ears and just kind of stay relevant, because unfortunately with how the pandemic has treated everything, your standard metrics are Spotify listeners or, you know, engage on this platform or that platform, your TikTok, like, you know, all the bullshit that a lot of record labels kind of require now, which for obvious reasons, but right. It kind of sucks.
It's the nature of the beast, man. Yeah,
it changed 2 years again.
You just gotta remember, you know, this music's gonna be new to somebody at some point, so don't stop. Don't stop pushing it. I really enjoyed Folklore. I really enjoyed Blackout, and this new single, Bad Love, is out of control, man. This is, you guys just keep stepping it up every time. Before we go, Steph, did you want to say something?
Oh, can I get a word in?
Yeah, would you?
No, I really appreciate you releasing music during the pandemic, because, you know, as a consumer, I was really looking forward to anything and everything that was like coming out music wise. And then, you know, a lot of people put everything on hiatus during that time. And, you know, we're finally out of it, and now we're seeing a lot more people come out. So I just really appreciate you just never stopping. You know, we need new talent, new music. And so thank you for that. Yeah.
Well, I'm stoked that you stumbled upon us.
Yeah,
it's always,
it was a pleasant surprise, sir.
Oh yes,
yeah.
It's always cool to hear about when people hear your music from, like, you know, different parts of the country, mm-hmm. or different countries in general. Like, it's wild that can even be a thing. So,
yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys ever find yourselves on the West Coast here in Southern California, you guys have a home. We'll put some shows together, man.
That'd be awesome.
We'll love it.
We'll make it out there.
As long as he doesn't get COVID. Again,
right? Yeah, yeah. Would you leave that over there, please?
Georgia has plenty.
Oh shit. Well, Cameron, Dallas, Casey, thanks for being on, man. We're gonna sign you guys off by playing Deep Sleep off your Folklore EP. But before we do that, guys, real quick, just where can we find you? Your socials, just throw all that out.
Instagram, suitor.ga.
TikTok.
I think it's Suitor Official.
Suitor Official.
Twitter.
Twitter is just Suitor GA.
Yeah. All your typical socials. Facebook, blah, 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 blah.
Suitor GA or Suitor Official.
Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Music.
All right.
Amazon Music.
Well, you guys, we're so happy to have you on. We wish you the best of luck. And I don't know what else to say. It's just we're happy to have met you, and we wish you the best.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
You too.
You too. All right.
Well, we're back. That was Suter, man. That was super fun to have him on the show. We hope that we get to see more releases from them. I really like their stuff.
Oh, Steph. Yeah. They're great guys. Yeah. Good music. Give them a listen.
Yeah. They're fucking dope, dude. One of the better bands that we've had on the show in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And then thank you for responding to our message on Instagram.
Yeah, you hit a lot of bands up.
Yeah.
Not all of them respond.
No.
Or they'll string us along.
Well, because it is hard to message on Instagram because there's so much spam on there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, well, those bands that take a risk and actually open our message, you know, we're not kidding around. You see that Food Bar show, like, we really want to interview you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, thanks, Suter, for opening up and chatting with us.
Word. Well, that's going to do it for the show, man. And so stick around next week when we're probably just going to be up to this same bullshit again, right?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
It could be expected. All right. Well, thank you all so very much for listening into the Foo Bar Show. And a special thanks to you, Foos, who subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow Foos. Remember to pick up some swag at FooBarShow.com. And that's FOOBarShow.com. And follow FOOBarShow on all of our socials. And we'll foo it up like a couple of Foos. I've been Joe C.
And I'm Steph.
Signing off saying, don't be a dick.
Fuck, man. Thank you, guys.